Okay, guys, just to get things going, we're going to make a couple of announcements. In case you hadn't heard, we have been given the green light to go ahead and reopen our church. We are looking to reopen our in-person live services starting this Sunday. However, we're going to need to do it in phases. And so we can't just open up the door and pretend like nothing happened the last couple of months. There are certain restrictions put out by our governor and the state and the health department. And so we are going to be in compliance with them. And so so the restrictions have an initial length, if you will, of 21 days. And so it's actually going to be 2 weeks from this Sunday. So we're going to have these 2 weeks of restrictions, and then we'll see what happens beyond that. But with that, this is going to be our plan for Sunday. In light of some of the limitations, we're going to have one service on Sunday morning, and it's going to be at our normally scheduled time at 10:30 in the morning. With that in mind, we're going to ask that if you are going to be here, that you come 30 to 40 minutes ahead of time, because it's going to be a little bit of a process. We're going to ask that students that are 12 years old or younger to stay at home, along with anybody that is high risk or showing any kind of symptom for an illness of any sort whatsoever, not just, you know, feverish, but if you have a cold or whatever, we're just going to ask that you stay home for the next couple of weeks just to keep you safe, keep the body safe, and really to be in compliance with what the state is asking of us. And so with that, we're asking that for those of you that can be here and want to be here, feel safe to be here, to show up 30 to 40 minutes in advance. We're going to do temperature checks before you come into the property. We're going to ask that everybody have a face mask just to keep you safe, keep each other safe, and, you know, just to, again, be in compliance. And we're going to have ushers set up to, you know, walk you into the sanctuary. We have the seating already ready to go so that we can be together in this place, but physically distant at the same time. We have sanitizer all over the place. We have an awesome crew ready for cleaning. So we have just everything that we need to be in place. And so if you're 13 years and older and you're not at risk and you're healthy, be here. We're excited to be here with you. We're going to seat everybody according to households, but we're still even sitting physically distant. In our households, we get to be in the body or building together as the body and worship together. And we're super excited about it. And so so that will be this Sunday. And then we are looking to do the same for our midweek service next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Now, if you can't be here with us, if you are 12 years and younger, we want to remind you that we still have content for the kids, for the students, posted on our YouTube channel. We also have packets for the kids that can be picked up here at the church property. If you want more information about that, you can email Anaya Younger, who is our children's ministry director, at kids@ccnlb.com. That's kids@ccnlb.com. For the rest of you, we want to let you know that we're going to still be broadcasting our services live. And so if you can't be here with us, make sure you tune in, which is why it's really important that we start at 10:30 and 7 o'clock on the button. So make sure you tune in as we're going to be broadcasting these services live as well. We'll have more information available for you in the next couple of days. So make sure that you're checking out our social media pages, our Instagram, our Facebook. Make sure you check out our website, ccnlb.com/connect, as we'll have all the information there. And make sure you subscribe to our e-bulletin as we put out the important information that you need all the time. So that way you can stay connected and up to date with the information we need you to have. If you are regularly a part of our Thursday morning Bible study, we want to let you know that we're actually going to postpone this Thursday morning's Bible study simply for preparation, for getting everything together for Sunday morning. And so we're going to go ahead and pick that back up again next Thursday. We're just going to push the pause button on it for this Thursday. And then finally, there's two more things. One, if you are going to be here on Sunday or next Wednesday, and you feel called to help out, as most of you know, there is a premium on cleaning products right now and hand sanitizer. And so if you have extras or you come across some at a grocery store or whatever, or wherever you're at, and you would like to donate to the church, we would appreciate it. So much like we have for Harvest and other outreaches that we usually put out, we'll have bins that are marked in the property where if you are interested in donating cleaning supplies or hand sanitizer or whatever, you can bring those with you and drop them in the marked bins as you come here on Sunday. Now, finally, we are going to be putting on this summer a virtual VBS. And so right now we're looking for teachers and we're looking for volunteers so we could put this thing together and do it well. And if you're interested for more information on how you can help, you can send an email to Anaya, again, kids@ccnlb.com, or you can just sign up at ccnlb.com/connect. There will be a place in there where you can go ahead and sign up to help out. But make sure that you be praying. If you want to help out, but you're not sure how, you can definitely pray. And if you're not sure if you can actually do something, but you're interested in investing in the lives of our kids, you can pray. So please be praying for this whole thing as we're excited to see what God will do through our VBS this summer. With that, we want to remind you that you can always check out our social media pages, our Facebook, our Instagram for more information. You can stay connected with us at ccnlb.com/connect. That's a place where you can drop a prayer request if you have one. You can sign up for a ministry. You can get more information on our Bible studies and prayer meetings, as well as give your tithe and offering if that's something that God puts on your heart. And so we want to remind you about that as well. Well, with that, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll start our Bible study, and then we're going to lead into worship afterwards. But I'll tell you more about that in a second. Father, we just want to shift gears right now as we have kind of handled our family business and the things that are coming up. We're excited about reopening. We're excited about the opportunity that we have to be here together, to worship you together. Your word tells us how good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. And so to have that unifying time of being together, dwelling together, to worship you together, God, we're so excited about that. We thank you that we have, even in a limited capacity, an opportunity for it. Lord, we recognize that as excited as we are about meeting with you together, we have an opportunity to meet with you together right now. because you are omnipresent. So just fill each place, fill each viewer with your word, and lead us right now. Help us to know your heart and to know your mind and to really focus our thoughts so we can have your perspective right now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I love Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. Ever since I was a little kid, I was all about Christmas. Christmas was my favorite holiday, not just because of the presents, although I'm not going to lie, when I was a kid, that was a big deal. But I've always loved Christmas because of all the things that came with it. When I was a kid, my family and my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, you know, all of us would go to my grandmother's house on Christmas Eve. And we would stay the night there so that we could all wake up in the morning together and open presents and have my grandma's famous biscuits and gravy. And then potentially later have some fried chicken. You know, it's just like a big day, and it was about feasting and about hanging out and about laughing and watching sports and just everything. But it was doing a bunch of stuff together. And I was always super extra excited about it. So much so that the night before, I would have a hard time falling asleep. I could remember vividly several nights being at my grandma's house, laying on the pallet that she made me, and staring at the lights on the Christmas tree and the stuff that was put up, and just having a hard time falling asleep because I was so excited for the next day. That is how I felt inside, just waiting in anticipation for us to be able to reopen. I had visions and plans and a certain kind of perspective, thinking, man, when we open again, it is going to be awesome. It's going to be celebratory. Like, even though we've been through some hard stuff and everybody's still going through some hard stuff as a result of COVID-19, I just thought, you know, it's still going to be so exciting when we are able to dwell together, to worship together, to have this time together. And so I knew in my heart and in my mind, right before we were going to open up again, I was just going to be uber excited, just like I used to get, and still do, if I'm going to be honest, the night before Christmas. But then a lot of things have happened since the announcement went out that we were given the go to go ahead and reopen again. There was the murder of George Floyd and the protests, the riots, and there's just so much going on in our culture right now, so much hurt, so much anxiety, so much pain, stuff that's super real, that has brought a lot of sobriety to my heart and mind. I'm still excited for meeting together, and it's something that I'm ready to do, something that I live in this constant anticipation for. But at the same time, we're dealing with some stuff right now as a culture. We're dealing with stuff as a country, as a city, and most definitely as a church. And there's a lot of stuff that we have to kind of deal with and address. Some real tough conversations we need to have. If you heard me on Sunday, you know that I've been praying tons in the last week or however long it's been on having the right words and to share with everybody just God's heart. You know, it's my job to to speak, and it's my job to have something to say. And you know, it's a struggle sometimes when we're in situations like this where there's so much going on, and you got to think like, man, what are the right words? Coming up with them is difficult because there's a lot going on. There's so much nuance on so many different levels. You know, there are some stuff that's pretty plain and straight up. Is there racism in the world? 100%. Is it in our culture? 100%. Do we need to deal with it? Absolutely. Is it clear? There's no nuance to that, right? God created everybody equal, created us different in terms of, you know, maybe our cultures or what we look like or where we're from or whatever, but we are equal. And so it's real easy to say that. It's real easy to know that if somebody is treated unequally, then that is wrong. That's a clear issue. But the stuff that we're dealing with internally and the stuff that we're struggling with, like, there's a lot of depth to it. And if we really stop to pay attention, we will understand that. You know, for me, I've had a lot of conversations in the last week with a lot of different people. I've talked to friends that are pastors and artists, moms and dads and everyday people that have gone through stuff that I'll never experience. Stuff I've heard a lot about, but I've never had to face for myself simply because they look different than me. And I've grieved over these stories of these people that I love so much being abused by people that should have been protecting them. I've heard some hard stuff about people that have been abused by the police. And others, it wasn't necessarily the police, it's just a random person on the street or people that they work with or people that were supposed to be friends. It's been in the church, it's been outside the church, it's everywhere. And hearing their stories breaks me because they're going through it and it's real. And I love them. And to hear about it, it's crushing. And then today, I had a conversation with our own Pastor Eric. If you don't know him, you know, if you know him, you know who he is. But if you don't, you know that he's an African-American police officer who's a pastor here at this church, a faithful man, loves Jesus, loves people. And hearing his heart about all the different things that he and the rest of his fellow officers are going through, and people that just want to do right. They're going through stuff on a number of different levels, and it's not up to me to kind of give you the details of their experiences, but hearing his heart and hearing about the stuff that they're going through and hearing the pain and just all the limits of the things that they're going through and that he's going through. And these are people that we care about, that we love. And it's just devastating, it's crushing. So there's stuff all over the place. There's hurt everywhere. There's hate everywhere. There's opinions everywhere. So what do we do about all this stuff? Where do we go? But we know, right, as Christians, as believers, we go to the Word. Because like David said in Psalm 119, 105, speaking to God, he says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And we need God's Word to be our GPS, to help us to navigate this dark time and these dark issues that we have to deal with. I mean, because let's face it, this isn't new stuff for our culture. It's not like all of a sudden we have to deal with racism and all of a sudden we have to deal with oppression and prejudice. It's not like these are our new issues. These are issues that have been around for generations and centuries. It's just kind of come to a boiling point right now in our culture. And how do we navigate these real issues? Because it's not, you know, black versus white. It's about right versus wrong. It's about justice versus injustice. And there's so much that we could say and speak into the culture and different opinions. And I think our social media pages, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they're full of tons of opinions. This is what we need to think. This is what they need to think. This is what they need to do. But the reality is we need to start with us and we need God's word to guide us. Now, at our staff meeting, I shared the same section of scripture with our staff, and we just kind of went through it together. I actually meant it just for our staff. I had a different plan for tonight, but I believe that God would have me share some of these same thoughts, share his heart from the same section of scripture with all of you. But one of the people in our staff said something that I thought was really interesting. She said that she's noticed that people have used this section of scripture and others like it in kind of a weaponized form, using God's word as an opportunity to attack people, to attack the rioters or to attack the cops or to attack people, just using it almost like their own sword, trying to poke and stab at the people that are out there. We're not going to do that tonight. We're going to start by looking at ourselves. Because see, I think sometimes we have this disconnect sometimes, like we're going through God's word and we've all done it on different levels. Like we've all been in church, right? How many times have you ever been at church and you heard to the message given and you thought, man, I wish so-and-so was here right now. Or I see that person sitting over there in that seat, and I hope that they're paying attention. And we hear God's word in such a way, through such a lens, through such a perspective, that we feel disconnected by the message, feeling like this isn't for me, this is for them. I need to get the message online. I need to get the CD, or I need to get the link so I could send it to so-and-so, and I hope they're paying attention. Or you're sitting with a spouse. Did you hear that? What we need to do is we need to think less about what everybody else needs to do. And we need to really start looking at ourselves, because isn't that where real change happens? Like, yes, we make change by voting. Yes, we make change by proclaiming. Yes, we make change by protesting. There's a lot of different ways that we can make change, but it doesn't mean anything unless it starts internally with ourselves. Like for me, I got to start with the man in the mirror. That's right. I need to ask him to make a change. We need to start with ourselves. We need to take a hard look at ourselves and think, what is it that God wants for us? Think of it this way. Remember after Jesus resurrected, he was with his disciples. He had just made them breakfast. And he had that hard conversation with Peter. And he said, Peter, do you love me? And you know the story, right? Well, after that conversation, they kind of go on this walk, and it's Jesus and Peter, and then all of a sudden, the Apostle John starts following them a little bit. And Jesus looks at Peter, and he says, you know what, Peter, there's going to come to a point where you're going to give your life for me. That's essentially what he was saying. And then he kind of looked back and at John, and he was like, well, what about that guy? And Jesus basically told him, don't worry about that guy. That's my job. You follow me. And I think it's healthy for us. Not I think, it's healthy for us as a church when we stop going, well, what about the protesters? What about the rioters? What about the cops? What about them? Yes, we need to deal with those issues. And there's stuff that we need to confront, and we can't sweep it under the rug. And we need to make a stand. And we do need to speak from God's perspective. But more than anything else, we got to start looking right here and say, well, what does it mean for me to follow Jesus? Because I don't care what position you're in at the moment. If you are a believer in Jesus, that has to matter. That has to mean something. So we're just going to go over God's word together. Just read through it. Think about it. I'm just going to share some thoughts. It's not going to be like a deep dive. But after we read it, we're going to pray. And then I'm going to ask Alex to come and lead us in a time of worship so we can just meditate on the truths of God's word. So if you haven't turned there with me yet, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. You know, the way that it's phrased in our English translations, it can mislead us a little bit. Because it says, Paul says in verse 9, let love, or the way we read it is that it says, let love be without hypocrisy. And it almost sounds like it's the concept of love. Like, let the concept of agape love be something that is without hypocrisy. But the way that it's written in its original language is more of a command, and it's more confrontational than that. It's not talking about the concept of love, the concept of agape. It's actually talking about the way that we do it. Because if you were to read it in the original language, you would see that the word let and be are something that were put in there by the translators, because it literally reads, love without hypocrisy. That's our job, to love, agape love without hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy in the Greek is interesting. It means to give a false impression, the false impression. Because we know that we're supposed to love. We know that we're supposed to love like God. We know that that is a cornerstone truth in every believer. But we start loving hypocritically when we have limits to our love. Or we start loving hypocritically when we're talking about loving our neighbor and yet we judge our neighbor. For all the people that kind of want to go off on all the different people that they see on TV or they see in the world or whatever, and we think they are less than, I'm better than, and we're filled with so much anger and so much frustration that our love kind of ceases, and yet we know that we're supposed to love our enemies, to love each other as ourselves, to love each other the way that Jesus loves us. Like, it needs to be real. It can't be fake. God is love, and we are his disciples. We are disciples of Jesus. God is love. We are his disciples, so we need to love like him. And the way that he talks about love needs to be talked about ourselves. He is agape, so how are we supposed to agape love without any kind of fakeness, without any kind of falsities? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Agape is patient. Are we? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now, let's talk about what that does and does not mean. I think sometimes when people hear about us talking about loving each other in the face of oppression and racism or dealing with all this stuff, there's this concept that it's almost like, hey guys, you need to just deal with whatever happens to you. You need to, like, you know, turn the other cheek and you need to just accept it because, you know, love one another. It's not what this means. Because we can stand for truth and we can stand for right and wrong. God's word tells us to do it all the time. You see it all over the place. Jesus is a defender of right and wrong. Disciples, well, we follow his example. But even as we stand for what is right, even as we fight for what is right, even though we do the things that God would call us to do, to honor him, to reflect him, and to stand up for those that are oppressed, and those that are needy, and those that are hurting, and those that are dying, we still, in the middle of our standing and fighting, love like Jesus. Because you can stand for what's right and not be seeking your own. You're seeking what's right. And you can stand for what is right and not be rude. And you can stand for what is right and still be patient and kind. You could be direct, but we still need to be reflective of God and his heart. For all of us, let's be real. For all of us that want to get like on social or start talking to our friends and talking about everybody else that's acting all crazy or wrong or whatever, are we even considering the things that people are going through? Are we loving them? Let our love be without hypocrisy. Let it not be fake. Let it not be something that we espouse or we talk about or something that we proclaim or say that Jesus calls us to do and not actually do ourselves. Abhor what is evil. You know, I think sometimes, like, and I've heard this talking from people, like, we almost need to, like, bypass the racism and the prejudice issues and things like that. Because, you know, we're all citizens of heaven or we're going to heaven and we just need to remember that the world is a sinful place and all that stuff. And those things are true. But God calls us to hate what is evil. Those things are evil. Let's be honest about that. It's okay for us to say racism is evil. We can put that out there and not feel like, I don't know, we're getting swept up in the moment. Let's be real about it. Abhor, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Man, do we need to do that. Cling to what is good. God is good. We need to hold on to him in the middle of all of this. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Treat each other like family. I know we got some crazy families out there. But you know what God means. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. The way that Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 2, consider each other better than yourselves. Not lagging in diligence. This isn't about loving each other from our couches, but actually doing stuff about it. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, you serve God by the way that you fight for each other and serve one another, care and love on one another, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Man, there's a lot of tribulation going on, a lot of pain, a lot of adversity, a lot of hardships going on, a lot of unrest. We find our patience not from ourselves and not from our circumstances, but because we remember who God is. That God is just. That God is good. And we can fight, but do so with patience. distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I think sometimes when we think about distributing to the needs and given to hospitality, we're thinking about the externals and we're thinking about giving each other food, or in our case, toilet paper or some paper towels or something, or hand sanitizer. But we're thinking kind of like on a physical level. But, you know, there's an emotional level too. You know, there's people that have dealt with racism and depression and prejudice and things like that, and they don't need us coming at them going like, you know what you really need to do? Sometimes they need us just to be like, man, I'm sorry. That's wrong. I love you. I'm gonna stand with you. What can I do? Let me listen. Distributing to the needs of people sometimes is more than just the physical. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's practical. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's just about love. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You can stand up for what is right, and if people come at you for doing so, be careful how you represent Jesus in response. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's so important. I think if there's nothing else that we can do, if you've never faced racism and prejudice and issues like this before, a really good place for us to start is to weep with those that weep, to care. I told the staff about it shortly after Hurricane Katrina, what, 04, 05, whatever, right after it happened. There was a group from Calvary Downey that were acting as chaplains down in Louisiana. And myself and another pastor from this church, we went to go and to help out. And we did a lot of different things there. We took missing persons reports, listening to people talk about the last time they saw a loved one before the flood hit and stuff, just like super devastating stuff. But one of the other things that we did is we were working with the morgues, kind of in an indirect way with FEMA. And what was happening is that there's so many bodies and hard to identify everybody, that in order for a relative to claim somebody that had passed away, they had to give a DNA sample. And it's just super traumatizing. And there's a lot that they had to go through as a result. So they asked us to sit with them and pray with them and minister to them and counsel them or whatever. And I remember there's this one young lady, shortly before the flood, she had given birth to twin babies. And she was in Florida, out of town, trying to get a job so she could provide for her kids. And when she was on her way back, she found out that as a result of the flood and some of the stuff that was going on, she lost one of her babies. And she was there to claim her infant child. And I'm sitting there just listening to her story, super broken. You know, when I was a young pastor, I always felt like I had to have the answer and tell everybody what they needed to do, and felt like I needed to give them direction because that's what a pastor meant. But I'm listening to her and I was thinking, like, I don't even know what to say. So I just told her, I'm sorry. I'm willing to hear whatever it is you have to say. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know that God does. I know that God loves you. I know that I love you. If there's any way that I could pray with you or pray for you, I want to be able to do that. Or I could just sit here with you, or I could go away if you want me to, you know? And she just kind of took this big, deep breath. And she said, thank you so much. She said, you don't know how many people have tried to tell me that my baby's in a better place, or tell me, I know what you're feeling right now. She goes, they mean well, but they're just making it worse. And there was a difference from what she saw in me versus what some of these other people were doing. And I learned at that moment that, man, there's power in grieving with those that grieve, and really listening and paying attention. You know, one of the things that I've heard over and over again is this plea for people that have gone through this stuff before. And they're like, before you sit there and judge my experiences or what racism and prejudice looks like in America, like, just listen. It's an important first step. If you're going to empathize with somebody and just love on somebody and weep with those that weep, we have to be those that listen. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Man, some of us would think that way before we start tweeting. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And what Paul means by that when he says give place to wrath, he's not saying give place to your own wrath or your righteous wrath, but he's saying give place to God's wrath. In other words, let God do his thing because God is just. And you might feel like, well, people are getting away with it and the system is letting people get away with it. We need to fight those cracks in our system that are wrong for sure, 100%. I'm not denying that at all. But at the end of the day, we can have rest that, man, we're all going to face God one day. And the Bible tells us what we sow will also reap here and eternally. We can trust in the God of justice. Let God do his thing. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That word overcome in the Greek is the same word for conquer. Do not let evil conquer you. Conquer evil with good. Conquer evil with God. It's the same word that Paul used just previously in Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn with me there, where he's talking about God's love for us. He says in verse 37, yet in all these things, in everything that we could go through, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. That word conqueror is the same word when he says overcome. Overcome evil with good, and we are able to conquer evil with God because we're more than conquerors because he conquered for us. And how do we conquer with God? By reflecting the heart of God to each other, living in unity as a body, and as a body, a unified body, reaching a lost and dying world. By standing up for what is right, by weeping with those that weep, by engaging people and loving on people and serving one another. If we do that, then we start to become the change that we're crying out for. And we can stand for justice and for truth and for what's right. But in a way that causes people to see Jesus. And we can get over ourselves and start to look at the pain and the agony and the anguish of our own people that have faced stuff that some of us will never even imagine. Because you know that Jesus weeps with them. Loves on them, is there with them, present with them. And for those of us that have never gone through it, we can do the same. Like imagine if we just kind of made it less about ourselves, right? And I'm not talking about fixing them. I'm talking about us in the church, you and me, just letting God's word shape us. Because I can't fix everybody. But I can let God's word transform my life so I could be what he wants me to be. Maybe if there's enough of us in this body that do the same thing, then we become that light that shines before men, that they see who we are and worship our Father in heaven. That they see us as being completely different. That in all this darkness, we reflect God's light. There's a lot for us to just kind of contemplate. And I would encourage all of you to just sit back and maybe go through some of the sections of scripture and just mull it through and pray it through and figure out, like, what does God want from me in all of this? How can I know his heart? And if there's any of you that are out there right now, or you're going to watch this video later, maybe you don't have that relationship with God, or maybe you once did, but you're not really walking with him. Now's the time. Because all of us are broken, and everything that we're seeing going on as a result of our sin, Jesus died to pay for our sin. We can have hope in him. And yeah, we'll still deal with all these issues, and we'll confront them, and we'll handle them, and we'll combat them. But you can have peace with God right now. You can have wholeness with God right now. You can have hope in God right now. So if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have that relationship with Jesus, or you've walked away from it, before you start looking at the rest of the world and you start looking at everybody else, think about your own eternal need right now. Just close your eyes and tell Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I need you in my life. Make me new in you. Walk with him. Have faith in him. Let him restore you. And we'll be ready to combat all the issues of the world around us, and to do so with each other in unity. So there's a lot of thoughts and a lot of stuff that's going on, and I'm going to close this little time in prayer, and then I'm going to ask Alex to come up here and just lead us in a time of worship. And I would encourage you guys to stick around for that. I don't know what the sound quality is going to be like. It's all through my laptop, but just sit back and just worship and take it in, see what God would say to you. So Father, we thank you for your truth that directs us and your word that brings light to us. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to just figure out what you want from us individually. I love this body. I love the church that you've given us here in North Long Beach. I love the fact that we are multicultural, that we represent just about every nationality and heritage of the world. God, I pray that you would help us to truly be a united church, and that it would be less about trying to see everybody else changed or fixed or whatever, but that we would just let your word transform our own individual lives, and that we would all be accountable, and that we would all just own the fact that you've called us to be disciples, and that we would engage each other right where we're at, and that we would know that there's some people in our family that have gone through stuff that others have not, but that we would just be able to just see each other through your eyes and weep with those that weep, and love and serve one another. Love without hypocrisy, conquering evil with your good. Help us to be that church so that we can stand so differently than the rest of the world that it would force them to notice you in us. Help us to be proclaimers of the gospel. Help us to be disciples making disciples. Help us to stand for what is right and hate what is evil. Help us to let your voice be heard above our own. Help us to speak with your perspective. Help us to be a reflection of you. Heal the hurting. protect those that are out there. Lord, I pray that you protect the protesters that are protesting in peace and standing for what's right. God, that you would protect them. That you would have their hand on them, and that you would speak, and that your truth would come out of them. God, for those that are doing things that break your heart, that you would draw them to yourself. For the police and the National Guard and all those that are out there, Lord, that you would have your hand on them as well. That you would change the system for those that don't reflect you in doing their job. And those that have kind of stood by while others did wrong, that would change. Those that do right and speak up for what is right and serve, that you would have your hand on them, that you would give them your peace. Pray for Pastor Eric, those that are serving alongside him, guys that are like him that try to seek your face and represent you well. God, that you would give them your peace that surpasses all understanding and help them to be a light, not only in the community that they're serving, but Lord, in the police department and the areas of influence that you've given them. God, that you would just bring real change, that you would bring real truth, and that you would help us to be a part of the answer, part of the solution. God, help us to respond in such a way that you see each of our lives and say, well done. Teach us, grow us, help us to gain greater understanding and discernment. But above all, help us to be like you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here with me, guys. I'm going to ask Alex to come up and to lead us in a time of worship, and let's just meditate on God's truth and sit in God's presence together and just commune with him right now.
Let's go ahead and worship.
There's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't tame, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
In our love,
songs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your blood in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Savior of all, I sing.
Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you reign in us and lead us. Help us to be your force for your good in our culture. You taught us, Father, to pray for your kingdom come, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's our prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in prayer, or as it is in heaven. Father, be with your people. Lead your people. Lead us in this world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We're excited to see you on Sunday. For those of you that can be here. And yeah, we'll see you soon. God bless you.